You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 23rd, 2025, and it's a beautiful morning to have you here in Madison. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the other platforms that we have for you. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you about Madison traffic. The Beltline that runs, you know, around the bottom of the metro area here. Is that kind of like the Golden Gate Bridge in the sense that the construction just kind of works its way down and by the time you think it's all done, they just go back? Then they start over again, because I got to say, I haven't missed that. I haven't missed you, Madison Road Construction. We're here in Madison Studio A2, and that's Parker Olson, who produces this fine shindig and has guided me into the opposite end of the broom closet over here. If you folks watching on social media go, Pat, you appear to be in solitary confinement. Why, yes. Is there nothing that could hang on a wall, a picture of Luke? No. I move my head to show you. There's the clock.
We do have the...
Yeah. That's the cheat sheet to know when to go to commercial break. Mr. Olson, how are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. I didn't know how tall you were.
I didn't know you had glasses.
I thought you were a dwarf. I thought you were small.
I thought you were bald. I mean, just...
It's been a toupee the whole time.
Exactly.
I'd take it off and put it back on in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are at the Civic Media Global HQ. A lot of the hosts and folks are going to be getting together today. So, in fact, a lot of your favorite hosts will be gone because after this show ends, we're all going out for coffee and talking about the state of the world and radio and you, how we make you happy with things that we discuss on local radio all across Wisconsin. So we'll talk a bit first about a candidate for governor, Bill Berrien, who's already running some ads in the state. And yet one investigative reporter has tried to, you know, flush out more of his story, and there's still some gaps in there. So we'll ask, who is Bill Berrien, coming up in the program. Now, this show happens to be hosted as well by a former legislator who has seen pretty much all the tricks. And so I'm going to talk to you a bit about Congressman Tom Tiffany, continuing to tease a potential run for governor, despite a lack of statewide appeal. And I'll tell you what the trick is behind it, which is not to say he's definitely not running for governor, but there's a reason why I suspect that he might not be, because of something that we see all the time here. If you missed it in our 8 o'clock hour yesterday, we talked to Dan Schaefer, and we'll play some of that back this hour about the new push for permanent nonpartisan redistricting after the 2030 census here in Wisconsin. We'll talk about how the Speaker of the House chose to send members of Congress home early in order to cover up any release of the Epstein files, but won't that just put more heat on President Trump? We'll talk about the potential hazards and the newest one that we've learned about, a member of his administration going to the prison in Tallahassee to meet with Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. There's nothing good could happen, could come from that. In our homeroom segment, we're going to be talking about declining enrollment. And when enrollment goes down, there's this reduction in state aid. And at first blush, you might think, well, that makes sense. You know, fewer kids, fewer state dollars. However, there are certain fixed expenses for schools that stay the same. By and large, if you only lose a handful of kids, but you've already lost that handful of state dollars. So we'll talk to the business manager and a school board member up in Chippewa Falls. Will join us as I'm down here in Madison today. What else? It's been 5 years since the passing of civil rights leader and former Congressman John Lewis. His spirit still calls us to get into what he called good trouble in the fight for voting rights, dignity, and justice for all. Earl Ingram's new Civic Media podcast asks how we carry that legacy forward, from civic engagement to mobilizing for change, all to ensure that Wisconsin stands on the right side of history. Along the way, feel free to join us in the comment sections here if you're on Facebook or YouTube. We'd love to get your questions, your comments. You can also use the Civic Media app to send us a text as well. Because I'm not at the palatial Lake Wissota studios where I have, you know, four computer screens at once, I may not see the text messages right away, but we'll get to them. Parker, you see them over there too, though, do you?
I see
the text messages?
I do see them. I see a message from Jim from Brookfield.
Okay. Oh, hi, Jim.
Yeah. He says there was a collective sigh of disappointment over the Mohawk area last night. There may have been a sigh of relief from George Webb franchise owners.
I don't think they minded the publicity. And Roger puts on Facebook, well, it was fun while it lasted. A 1-0 game is great if you win, but a 1-0 game stings if you lose it. Says the show is sounding great at his end, as we wondered if our technical setup was all working
good
fine.
Thank you,
Seems
sir.
To be fine. Thank you. Appreciate that. That gets us to the Brewers.
Yeah.
They lost.
They did.
1-0.
You know what sucks is...
What is it, Parker?
Had they lost last night,
yeah,
I wouldn't have cared at all.
Yeah.
It'd have been like, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It is literally the prospect of free hamburgers that I wasn't going to get.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
I was going to say, there's no George Webb around here
in
Madison anyplace. For folks who might have missed it because they were out west, look, the thing is, the Brewers' bats, sometimes, you know, they come and they go. And recall that I mentioned, you know, 2 days ago, or I mentioned yesterday that the game 2 days ago, the Seattle pitcher, you know, took a no-hitter into the sixth inning, I believe it was. Well, again, last night you had Seattle's pitcher, what's his name, Logan Gilbert. He carried a perfect game into the fifth inning and ended up yielding only two Brewer singles. And so the Brewers' 11-game winning streak was snapped, 1-0. And the other thing that makes it really sad, Parker, is that, I mean, Jacob Mizorowski, he was great. Struck out seven across 3 2/3 innings. Gave up 3 hits, walked only 1 batter. So, I mean, we had the right guy on the mound.
Yeah.
Here's what we didn't have. We didn't have Cal Raleigh, who is the leader in the home runs this season, as a catcher. As a catcher. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that since Johnny Bench. And Johnny Bench did not have the same kind of nickname that Cal Raleigh has, the Big Dumper.
Big Dumper.
Only because, again, some teammates said that, boy, that's a big can he's got on his backside there, which I suppose if you're a catcher, you know, those glutes can get to be in good shape. So the Big Dumper hit his major league leading 39th home run of the season. So that was it. The guy that won the home run derby hit a home run and ended the Brewers' 11-game winning streak. So the Brewers just, you know, they get right back at it. They're now tied for first place with the Chicago Cubs and get a chance to once again try to take first place on their own by playing the Mariners. Wrapping up that series this afternoon, 2:05 will be the start of the pregame on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And then they'll have tomorrow off, home for a series against the Florida Marlins starting Friday. And then the Cubs come to town next Monday for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday setup, including a Wednesday day game. And interestingly enough, as we were setting up for this get together here, Parker, you know, the Civic Media folks have great tickets for the Brewers, club level seats. We'll give away some more this Friday as part of Free Ticket Friday. And somebody that I know really well, oh, that'd be me, is going to be using those tickets real soon in a few days here. And did you catch yesterday how they put out the word like, hey, these tickets are really starting to get popular. So, you know, you might not get the ones you want for the games you want. And if you want them, you got to make sure that you're able to use them. So it's still a hot ticket. We've been giving tickets away for that Cubs, you know, Brewers-Cubs series. And I am very encouraged to think that that American Family Field is going to have many more Brewers fans than it normally does when the Cubs come to town, because a lot of times people are like, eh, they're coming. Let's skip yeah. it. You know,
I've voiced my concerns about that. Go yes. to the game, Brewer fans.
Go to the game.
Otherwise, you're giving the Cubs a seat.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't.
You don't have to engage. You can just be there to, as they say, root for the home team. Which, by the way, that is also when I mentioned rooting for the home team. We have an article on ways that you can enjoy baseball on a budget across Wisconsin. There are many teams beyond, of course, the Brewers in the major leagues. There's what in Madison? There's the Mallards.
There's the Mallards.
And then what's the other one? The Nightmares?
Nightmares is the softball team.
The softball team. And we're counting that for these purposes. By the way, Nightmares, M-A-R-E-S.
Yes.
Like the Phillies.
Although last night, I believe, was Nightmares Night, and they had like clowns and snakes and stuff. They have a great time over there.
It's one of my favorite T-shirts. Is one that just all the writing is in a spiral, and it spirals inward, and the whole time it says, "Can't sleep, clowns will eat me. Can't sleep, clowns will eat me. Can't sleep." Anyway, on the website, Baseball for a Bargain. So whether it's the Mallards or a host of other teams around Wisconsin, there are all kinds of different specials and deals that enable you to save a few bucks while taking in the old ball game at one of many locations around Wisconsin. So look for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. But you didn't have to work that game last night.
I did not, no. I had the fortune of seeing a picture of an intern with their eyes popping out of her head while a snake was around her neck. That's how I found out.
So, good job.
Yeah.
You missed that one. Oh, man. Hey, a little note about Civic Media, now that I've told you some nice things about Up North News here. But here at the Civic Media World Headquarters, besides Up North News having a newsroom with statewide reach, our friends here at Civic Media also have you covered, including local news updates that you can get from each individual station. What you do is you go to civicmedia.us and then call up your local Civic Media station, and that'll bring up that station's homepage. And up near the top, you'll see a daily news roundup that you can listen to right there. You can sign up for email versions of the daily update as well. And by the way, while you're at the Civic Media website, there's merchandise out there too. So again, civicmedia.us is where you learn much more about the programs and where you can get merch and where you can listen to podcasts like Matt Rothschild's podcast. And I believe Matt Rothschild is guest hosting, yes, Matt and Air on Air, coming up at 9 o'clock, right after this fine program right here. And then, of course, we've got, like I said, an assortment of either guest hosts or other best of programming while we have a little summer fun here. It's summer vacation season. So for summer vacation, the hosts here, we're going to lock ourselves in a room and talk. It's going to be great.
That sounds awesome.
Yes. So an entire new lineup is coming your way tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. across the Civic Meet. No, it'll be fine. It'll be great. Parker's not believing this for a minute over here.
I think it'll be okay.
The thing I'm curious about is the icebreaker. Everything has an icebreaker. And
all right, guys, join hands in the middle and see if you can untie the human knot.
Maybe if you got any great ideas for icebreakers or incredibly bad ideas, we'll take them, really. From the heart of America's up north, which of course is all of Wisconsin. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Don't forget, you can get everything we do at Up North News in terms of Wisconsin news coverage through our daily newsletter and our Sunday morning newsletter as well. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, we've got a feature on Arrowhead High School star pitcher Peter Cusso, who just signed with the New York Mets, the only Wisconsin high schooler invited to this year's NFL Draft Combine. Also, some cases of true crime history in Wisconsin. 11 of the biggest true crime stories that have come out of our state. And also a new study that ties the state's weaker than usual state gun laws to the number of child deaths in Wisconsin. Again, these are all things, these are gun deaths that are entirely preventable if we would take the situation more seriously, if our elected officials would take the situation more seriously. And again, for that and more of our coverage, sign up for that newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. So this is what stuck out at Urban Milwaukee, the site urbanmilwaukee.com, and investigative reporter Bruce Murphy, who has been doing the due diligence of, well, any good reporter who has to cover things like, you know, unknowns who want to be governor and already have more than $1 million applied toward that. Now, granted, in Bill Berrien's case, the CEO of this manufacturing firm raised $1.2 million in the last reporting period, but $1 million of that $1.2 million came from the Winklevoss twins and their cryptocurrency endeavors. We're going to talk more about cryptocurrency tomorrow, by the way, with State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ryan Spouty. More about that coming up. But anyway, so there's Bill Berrien, this businessman who's running for governor. And Bruce Murphy notes that he does describe himself as a Navy SEAL, that he owns a New Berlin-based manufacturing company, that he's an outsider who would shake up Madison. He calls himself a Wisconsin convert who moved to the state and chose to raise his family in the Milwaukee suburb of Whitefish Bay. But Bruce Murphy writes precisely when Berrien moved here, how he acquired his wealth, and how much business acumen he has is unclear. The candidate has not said anything about his family or his upbringing. And that's when Bruce Murphy got to digging here. And so he found out more about Bill Berrien's parents, including Willard Berry. Actually, Bill Berrien's full name is Willard Berrien III, son of Willard Hewitt Berrien Jr., also known as Bill, who passed away in March after a long career in finance. He was an avid stock investor. The Berrien family had a home on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, Bruce Murphy writes, one of the most affluent areas of New York City, a summer home on Long Island. And one realtor says the pace of life in that neighborhood is quieter and more measured than in other parts of the Hamptons. I know exactly what you're thinking here. Wait a minute. Didn't we just go through this with Tim Michaels? Wasn't Tim Michaels essentially living, around New York City and growing up around wealth and privilege and sending his kids to school there? Yeah. So that's what we know about the Berrien family being raised on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Let's see. He was Bill Berrien, an active member of several clubs in the area. He went, according to Murphy's story, to the best private schools. He attended St. David's on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. The current tuition is $64,000 a year. He went to high school at Trinity School on the Upper West Side, where tuition is about $69,000 a year. In today's dollars, that would be $788,000. From there, it was on to the Ivy League. Bill attended Princeton University, just 80 minutes away by train, where he got a degree in politics and added to his resume by serving as captain of the Princeton University water polo team. So you might, in the future, hear us describe Bill Berrien, not business owner Bill Berrien, but Princeton University water polo captain Bill Berrien, who's running for Wisconsin governor. Berrien did then join the Navy SEALs. He served as a team officer and platoon commander, graduating from the Naval Officer Candidate School as a distinguished naval graduate. So again, he has served his country, and we thank him for that. He went back to school, getting a master's in international economics at Johns Hopkins University. He got an MBA at Harvard. It's funny, for all the Republicans who are looking to attack Harvard and want to diminish the Ivy League, a lot of them sure seem to have Ivy League degrees of some sort or another. Bruce Murphy notes that by his mid-30s, he still did not have a clear career path. His LinkedIn profile shows no job or schooling for 2 years after that Harvard degree. Berrien told WISN he moved to Wisconsin 23 years ago, but that would have been while he was still attending Harvard. The first LinkedIn item that could place him in Wisconsin is a global product manager at GE Healthcare, which has offices in Chicago and Milwaukee. In 2004-2005, he finally then has an address listed after purchasing a home in Whitefish Bay in 2009 for $625,000. He calls himself a Southeast Wisconsin community leader, including 12 years of volunteer parent coaching his two sons in youth and high school lacrosse and serving on the boards of numerous charities. But then as Bruce Murphy goes on and talks about his professional career, he's having a tough time finding out where Berrien got the money to actually acquire the business that he has now. And Bruce Murphy wraps up simply by saying, all of this suggests that the life story and candidacy of Bill Berrien is not quite the simple tale he has been telling voters. And again, none of that may be untoward, but as somebody who's run for office, I mean, the advice is always clear, and that is have your story. Have your story. Tell your story. Tell people who you are. And for the love of all things holy in politics, don't leave gaps that you can't explain. So Bill Berrien will be asked a little bit more about the path that led him to believing that he should be the next governor of Wisconsin. We'll hear from Dan Schaefer about independent redistricting after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. What did you find for us over here now? This is intriguing new bumper music.
It is. Yeah, it is a breath of fresh air.
Well, that's debatable. Oh, that's the cut.
That's the name.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Can't believe that?
Got a little bit of like a little Al Hurt vibe in there.
Yeah, kinda, a little sort of trumpets for you, whatever it is. I don't know.
All right.
Really I don't good. Know instruments very well.
Oh, so not a kazoo, that much we know.
Ah, yes.
Very limited musical knowledge that we have here. The whole topic of Bill Berrien was brought up running for governor because of him saying that he was going to drop $400,000 in advertising. And it's what led to our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, saying that if somebody spends that much money, more than a year ahead of the primary election, does that make you really not like them and less likely to vote for them? Or does it really not matter because you understand they need to build their name ID and it's neither here nor there? Do you actually like it because it shows some initiative, some gumption on the part of the candidate? The answer has overwhelmingly been A at this point. Although, again, keep in mind that while people are not happy that Bill Berrien is running ads right now, it could be later on that they may really like what they're hearing if his candidacy, lasts into next year. But Mel writes, when someone runs ads this early in the election cycle, I think they must have lots of money or the backing of some money donors to be able to afford it. And that alone makes me wary, which is completely understandable. But again, if you'd like to answer as well, you should be a subscriber to our Sunday morning newsletter. And of course, you can also send us your thoughts by email. Send that email to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right. Well, yesterday, late in the show, we talked to our friend Dan Schaefer, the political editor at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. And his most recent newsletter is about nonpartisan redistricting. To which you think, well, wait, we got fair maps. Everything's all good, right? No, far from it. And the elections next year in 2026 will perhaps decide whether Wisconsin comes even closer to fair maps or gets gerrymandered all over again. And so Dan Schaefer has talked to folks who are looking to make a push for nonpartisan redistricting. Take the legislature out of it once and for all. To do that, they'll need a permanent legislative solution and legislators willing to abide by it. So I started by asking Dan just a bit more about what he wrote about in his newsletter that you can get at the recombobulationarea.news.
Yeah, so I was writing this piece over the last couple of weeks here and got a chance to talk to a number of folks who have long been involved in the Fair Maps movement in Wisconsin and are kind of beginning the latest effort anew. And last year, when Tony Evers signed new maps into law in February of 2024, I think that was a momentous achievement for the state of being out from under a decade of the most egregious partisan gerrymander for any state legislature in the country, and moving towards a better, newer, fairer maps that were initiated by this remedial maps process that came through the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Huge achievement, but not a long-term one. It's a short-term fix to the problem of unconstitutional maps. And 2030 is, you know, just a few years away, and we're going to be back at square one without an actual legislative change to reform the way the state operates its redistricting process. And so I talked to people with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Fair Maps Coalition and the League of Women's Voters and a number of volunteers who have been meeting for hours every week to talk about and hone this plan to try to get a quote-unquote Wisconsin model for independent redistricting in the state. And I think the plan that they have come up with is a pretty compelling one. And right now it is what is happening. It is kind of coming from the behind the scenes, you know, crafting the proposal, crafting the process stage to really bringing it to the public. So they've held a number of public events about this proposal over the past few weeks. I believe they had ones in Wausau and Green Bay and Dodgeville and Whitefish Bay, just north of Milwaukee. And so I think they're eyeing to have more of these in the coming months and eventually have a proposal that will bring legislation creating an independent redistricting commission for the state of Wisconsin that would oversee the redistricting process every 10 years. And then it would also include a push for a constitutional amendment to change to amend the state constitution to say that it is not the legislators themselves who are drawing the maps, who have oversight over the redistricting process. You know, kind of the old adage of the voters should pick their leaders, not the other way around.
Again, I'm glad they're starting as early as they are, because we don't know the results of the 2026 election, but they need to be ready come January of 2027, try to put together, you know, enough of a bipartisan coalition where the party leaders from one or both parties don't go, well, blank that, we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps.
Yeah, and the goal for this is to have bipartisan support. And it is very purposefully not being crafted in partnership with any lawmakers from either major political party in Wisconsin. I think some of the people that I talked to for this are a little bit more skeptical of Democrats' motivations in the Fair Maps movement, after some wanted to wait and have the courts draw the maps during the remedial maps process last year, instead of having the governor sign the maps that he himself proposed. So I think some were waiting for a slightly more advantageous map for Democrats. And I think some people, some of these pro-democracy advocates and Fair Maps activists were saying, wait a minute there, that's not really what we're here about. That's not what our priorities and principles are. And so I think there are some people in that space who are wanting to say, you know, we don't want either party to have the opportunity to gerrymander maps ever in Wisconsin. Again, we saw how it decimated the state's politics in so many ways. And so regardless of which party would be in power in 2030, the effort here is to get that power out of the power to draw the maps out of the politicians' hands.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. You can sign up for his newsletter, therecombobulationarea.news. And, of course, he's the political editor here at Civic Media as well. We talked about it being it's quiet here while we wait for the governor to make his announcement. Maybe you have the list right next to you, you know, that if the governor announces he's not running, and the list of potential candidates, can you imagine how many phone calls are going to be made within like the first 5 minutes of that announcement? And I really am concerned that some of these folks, their phones might actually catch fire, because so many calls are going to be coming into them going, do you have something to say? And we should know better. There's nobody that's going to announce within 5 minutes of the governor's announcement that they're running, even though we all want to be the first one to get somebody saying that they're running. So I guess we're just tempering expectations, I guess, is what I'm doing here.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, there are a lot of careers riding on what the decision the governor makes, right? I think we've gone through the list, I think, on this show or others a couple different times about who the group of candidates might be to run for governor. But it's certainly going to be a busy time as soon as Evers makes that decision. And that's not to say, like, what the other implications of that might be. What, you know, races for attorney general or secretary of state, depending on who might be running. And I think there are, you know, the domino effect of this is going to be pretty profound, regardless of what way this goes for the governor, especially if he decides not to seek a third term. There are going to be a lot of changes in Democratic politics in Wisconsin. And once again, I will reiterate, I think that's a good thing.
Once again, that's Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Sign up at therecombobulationarea.news to learn more as he, along with all the rest of us, continues to follow what it is that Tony Evers is going to do or not do when it comes to running for a third term and potentially opening up a wide-open Democratic primary and an even wider Republican primary for governor next year. All right, it is my unfortunate duty to shift gears to the Epstein files here for a moment, only because, again, of conduct so outrageous and egregious, it can't just be ignored. As much as we'd like to ignore and not have to think about parts of the Epstein case, the fact of the matter is that justice continues to be delayed for many of the victims in that case, and the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is in essence now part of that cover-up. He chose yesterday to send Congress home early. The summer recess, he started it more than a day early rather than have to deal with the push by some members to pass legislation or a resolution that would call for the release of more of the files about the sexual predator. Why? I mean, these are Republicans who, along with Democrats now, have been clamoring for transparency for the longest time. And so when President Trump did his about-face recently and said, you know, it's all a hoax, there's really nothing there, understandably, folks were suspicious on both sides of the aisle and said, how about if we just get it all out there? And look, there are folks who are still allies of President Trump who are attacking Democrats for piling on at this point, going, oh, we haven't heard from you for, you know, over a year, a couple of years on this case, and now suddenly you're vocal about it. Well, yeah, here's why. There was no need to. The people who were clamoring for the past 2-3 years or more about this were people who were trying to make political hay out of this whole issue. And now that it's become clear that those same people are being disappointed by a potential cover-up by the president and the Speaker of the House, it's worth calling out. Even those of us who weren't using the case for political hay can now look at this in case and say, can we all not agree that everything should be out there? And most people would tell you everything should be out there. And yet every Republican from Wisconsin in Congress and most Republicans in the House voted against a measure last week that would have called for that. So here's what the White House is doing instead. We talked about some of the potential distractions that are out there yesterday. Here's the newest distraction, where a Deputy Attorney General of the United States is going to be meeting with Epstein's girlfriend and co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell in prison in Florida, saying that, you know, he wants to talk to Ghislaine Maxwell to see if there's anything that she wants to say, and that if she's got accusations to make, she should be able to make them. Well, this is not what it appears to be. She's been convicted. She's serving a 20-year sentence. She has seen Donald Trump give out pardons like candy to convicted criminals. The fact that a deputy attorney general at this level has never gone to a prison to meet with a convicted felon. I mean, prosecutors do, but not political members of a presidential administration. It just reeks of the potential to dangle some kind of deal for leniency or a pardon if she'll say what Trump wants her to say. She's had a chance to talk in court. She's decided not to. Prosecutors in the past have said that she has lied to them. So anything that she says is a little, shall we say, untrustworthy. So a deputy attorney general saying that he wants to go visit with her and see if there's anything she wants to say is a big red flag compared to simply, you know, releasing the files that are already there and already collected. And the number of Republicans recognizing this is only growing. And while Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has sent Congress home wishing it would go away, it's probably only going to increase the pressure on them to come back to D.C. after the recess and say, let's release all this and get it behind us no matter what's in it. Which, by the way, is the right answer, because it's about justice for the victims, not diversions, not distractions, but justice. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You have my permission to turn your radio up to 11 right about now. Everybody's got a song or two where they're just like, I just need to blast something. For me, that would be Synchronicity 2 by The Police. Their final album, Synchronicity, hit number one this day in 1983. And I'm going to leave this music up just long enough because the first line to the first verse is just, it's wonderful. Here we go. What do you have to do? You have to shout above the din of our Rice Krispies as grandmother is screaming at the wall. Another suburban family morning. Just another day in Wisconsin Rapids where we bring along our friend Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I am doing good.
All right.
Sitting in the dark because we want the heat out.
Oh, yeah. It is going to be a hot one today.
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Is it hot enough for a pigeon to need air conditioning? How's Lilu doing?
Well, you know, Lilu's doing good. Until 104, they are okay.
Okay.
And that's what we're supposed to hit today with the heat indexes. So
yikes.
I'm not okay at 104. That's impressive.
Nobody should be okay
at 104.
So Lilu's still no tricks to show off. Yeah,
I don't see
a flaming hoop that she's jumping through or anything like that.
They did manage to muddle through the bath I put in the cage for them. So
okay,
well, you know, we're making progress.
Hey, bathing is important. You know,
it is.
So
it's true. As Brittany Merlot now knows after camping at DAA for a couple of days.
I think we're going to hear from her one more time in about 15-20 minutes here, and I'm hoping the days and days of camping at Air Venture have been kind to her, and that she does not look like she's surviving some kind of a reality show out in the jungle. Did you, Melissa, have a song or a group like that? Like there's just some song you want to just turn up to 11 and blast it?
Oh yeah, probably. But it's
is it a Broadway show tune or is it like there's nothing?
No,
do you rock out?
I go in cycles, and right now Rainbow Kitten Surprise is my band that I like to turn up really loud, but they're not radio safe.
Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. Parker knows this.
I do.
He's going to get me a clip so that I understand. Because I am now intrigued.
Oh, boy.
On this day in 1903, the Ford Motor Company sold its very first car. On this day in 2018, the National Transportation Safety Board warned against the trend of jumping out of moving cars and dancing to Drake's In My Feelings. Melissa, please tell me you never did that to make a viral video.
Never did that.
Okay. This next one, look, I'm not taking joy in this, but nobody has given us the sound of irony quite like Amy Winehouse, who died on this day in 2011.
We have, I said, no, no, no,
Amy Winehouse, dead of alcohol poisoning at the age of 27, this day in 2011. On this day in 1996, then 18-year-old Fiona Apple released her debut album, and it would sell over 3 million copies. Happy birthday to Slash, the Guns N' Roses guitarist, who is 60 years old today. Happy 54th birthday to Alison Krauss. Now, again, in true testimony that we all like all different kinds of music, at one moment I might blast Synchronicity, and yet there's not an Alison Krauss song that I wouldn't also turn up and listen to with that voice.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Awesome. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter. Want to take a guess how old he is today, the actor?
Oh, man. Maybe 29?
36.
Ooh.
36 today. Yes.
Wow.
I know. Yes. Next, happy 77th birthday to John Hall. Not Daryl Hall, not John Oates, John Hall. Totally different guy. He was the founder of the 70s musical group Orleans. He later became a community activist and a congressman from 2006 to 2010. On this day in 1962, Jackie Robinson became the first Black American inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And on this day in 1977, the number one hit was by Barry Manilow. Wait till you hear what's coming next in terms of musical whiplash, okay? So just stick around for that. Here's Barry Manilow from 1977. Looks like we made it, yes. Now, of course, we're also, Melissa, noting the passing of a musical legend, and that, of course, would be Ozzy Osbourne, who passed away at the age of 76. So as we bring up one of his seminal hits, I ask you this, Melissa, where are you on the musical scale of Barry Manilow to Ozzy Osbourne?
I couldn't tell you one Ozzy Osbourne song.
I think that's our answer.
Oh, come on.
I've probably heard them, but
we've all heard them, but
true.
Do I know them? No, absolutely. There's a reason why you hear Yacht Rock on this program and all kinds of schmaltz from the 50s and 60s. This is the demographic that we're dealing with on this particular show. But we know that John Michael Ozzy Osbourne was a leading figure in music. He was, basically the founding father of heavy metal. And then later turned out to be quite the doting father on the TV show The Osbournes. So, and I just know him from the times that he would like mock himself in TV commercials. And anybody that can do that, that gets an extra check mark in my book. So happy trails to Ozzy Osbourne. And who knows, maybe Lilu will grow up to become, you can't force your kids to like the same thing that you like. So for all you know, Lilu may respond best to heavy metal down the road. As
we'll
Lilu gets more accustomed to things here. We always appreciate the update, Melissa, and you can catch much more of what she's doing over at WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a great day, Melissa.
Good to see you guys.
Much more after the 7 o'clock news here, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.